Welcome back to the Go-To Food Podcast. Today we're delighted to shine a light on the bakers of this world. We've kind of undervalued so far in this series, and so we thought, who better than Kit Delamain, one of the greatest bakers in London, working at the oldest organic bakery in England, I think it is, the old Post Office Bakery in Clapham. Have we caught you at the end of... Actually, before we ask you any questions, you bought us a mystery box.
I did bring it.
Which we'll open in a second, but have we caught you at the end of a long day? Have you been baking today?
I have been. I've been at work since, not actually that early, because Tuesday the bakery's closed, but I'm preparing for Wednesday.
Okay, so what are you doing?
Smart.
Today, I've just been making the breads, done some brownies. Last week, hot cross buns. I don't know when this is going out, but it's basically still Easter. And I've had a lot of compliments. It's my recipe, so I've had a lot of compliments.
What's different about your recipe to like the normal hot cross bun?
The other ones are a lot denser. You can only go by sight with a lot of these videos, and a lot of how I've learned bread has been through sight on other YouTube videos, but you can see they're quite a lot dense, like a lot less water in them.
So you're saying you're working at one of the greatest bakeries in the world and you're learning how to bake through a video on YouTube?
That is how I learned primarily, yeah.
Fair play, that's great.
That's how I got into it.
Is that how you learned to bake when you, sorry, learned how to cook when you were a chef or?
No. Probably, I would maybe be a better chef if I had learned more from YouTube. Yeah.
Well,
to be honest with you,
it's an amazing what you can learn from YouTube, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
It is.
Should we open this mystery box? So you bought a mystery. Oh my god, a hot cross bun. Famous hot cross bun recipe.
Yeah.
So if we just show that to the camera, I mean, they look absolutely delicious. So these are slightly. Can you say moister than other ones?
I'd hope so. To be honest, I was in a bit of a rush.
There's also like another mystery wrap.
That's like my brownie. I'm very happy with my brownie recipe.
Oh my god, you bought your brownie as well.
We've gone up to about
some of this now, Ben.
Damn straight.
Think, yeah. Okay. Get a hot cross bun.
I'd be interested to hear your opinion.
Oh my god, it looks amazing.
So are you saying these have higher hydration or lower hydration?
They do, but I was in a bit of a rush here, so they're slightly underproofed.
They look amazing.
They could be bigger.
Well, we're sorry for rushing you out. What does a traditional day look like in the bakery? Obviously, today was a chill day, brownies and chill, as the kids would say.
But brownies and chill?
Yeah, what would normally happen?
Get in the morning. I normally just go over and have a look at the bread. The main reason why I enjoy baking is because you've got that masochistic tendency to be able to delay your gratification enough that I think I've had enough. Yeah. You delay your gratification.
That's gorgeous.
But I go to sleep. Okay. Should we have a quick moment of reaction?
Normally you have to toast them to like bring out the flavour. Those are genius.
I mean, they are only a couple hours old, so that's
no peel.
There's peel in there.
How fucking dare you, Ben?
Yeah.
There's peel in there.
I hate candy peel, but these are delicious. But there's maybe light on candy peel.
Not a crazy amount. And it's also the stuff we get is very finely chopped, which is good. I go to sleep worrying about how the bread's going to be the next day. Less so now, I'm more confident in myself. But yeah, first thing is go check bread. Generally, it's good. Sometimes it's not. And then that's quite fun, working out why you've got 30 dead loaves, but that's fine. Carry that knowledge into immediately getting on with sort of 100, 150 kilos sourdough.
Jesus.
And that's white and brown. MD seeded stuff as well. Recently, I've been doing hot cross buns. It's quite a long process. Yeah, I like to start.
Is it just you doing that?
For bread, mixing the bread, yeah. But then there's two others. There's Dolphy, who does the baking most of the time. Sometimes he needs a holiday, which when I step in. But he gets in at sort of midnight. I'm in at 5:30.
Talk about night shifts. I know you've done a couple. You're not on the nights at the moment. But what is a night shift like? Do they get weird? Yeah. I can imagine being by yourself for like 8 hours baking, weird things happen.
It depends what's happened just before. So last string of night shifts I had to do, start the week off pretty normal. It's like, okay, you're going to be going to bed at 7 or 8 o'clock. Ooh. You get up, yeah, it's really horrible. And then you get in, it's just kind of like, depends what kind of music I'm in the mood for. There's an Austrian collective of DJs that play 24 hours and I sometimes had them on.
Very Bruno-esque.
Very Bruno-esque, yeah. About the same level of clothing as well. Yeah. No one's there. No one can tell you what to do.
No.
Everyone that I've spoken to that do night shifts agrees that they're awful and no one should have to do them. But, you know, it's character building.
Yeah.
Felt like I earned my wings as a baker doing that.
Do you have any famous clientele in your bakery?
Anyone? I do, actually.
Who do you have?
One of your previous guests, Chef Aaron Middleton.
Oh, yeah.
Big Ant.
I've never actually seen him in the store, but he does comment on posts quite often. And I know that he's had one of the chicken sandwiches. So next time he's in, he should say hi. But also Joe, what's his name?
Joe Cole. His flatmate.
His flatmate has been...
Well, essentially flatmate.
Yeah.
Same building.
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His best friend. Seen him in a few times. Also, Toby Jones comes in for a sausage roll every so often.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever too hungover to work? I always think about people in hospitality. You must have had it as a chef. When you rock up to work and you're so fucking hungover, the last place you want to be is a kitchen or like in a bakery.
As I'm getting older, so this is my second baking job. Previously, I worked at St. John Bakery.
We're going to get that. Don't you worry about that. Garen.
Okay. You've got my personal history there.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I've got everything on this side, but
creep.
Yeah.
As I'm getting older and doing more baking, I'm realizing you can't get 3 hours sleep and feel like a normal person the next day. It just doesn't work.
No.
That being said, cooking and baking is the one activity I can do on a hangover. At this bakery, it's fine because we don't do any wholesale. So if you screw something up, it just means the shop has one less thing for the next day. But back where I was working, we were wholesale. So if you screw up one of the loaves, if you screw up, it's the mixing that's the worst. It's loads of numbers, loads of different types of flour. You're sort of like going through a list. Did I remember to add this? Did I remember to add that? But as I have done, like forgetting to add yeast to croissant dough, it's then just like, either you have to remix it. I remember doing this, it was like on a Sunday at 9 p.m. and I was like, am I going to spend another hour here remixing it? And then one of my supervisors was like, yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. Generally, it's fine. And it's just a case of being slightly quieter that day, having a Diet Coke or two, standing in the walk-in fridge for sort of 20 minutes or so. That's good.
But you're doing quite a sort of like nice, zen, repetitive thing often. I found it quite easy cooking on a hangover.
Yeah.
Mm.
You go into this nice sort of flow state when you don't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
You just really lose yourself in like a biryani or something.
Yeah.
It's also often when you sit still and stop moving, that's when you realise that it's all terrible.
And you wallow in it.
Yeah, exactly. I think you've also just, you can't be pathetic.
Doing my research, I saw that your first actual job in the sort of hospitality trade was in a hotel in Porto, the 5-star Yateman Hotel, or was that just a lie on your LinkedIn?
That is true.
How did that come about? What was that like?
I'll be honest, it's nepotism, pure nepotism.
Okay,
perfect. Tell me what you think of that.
I'm just toasting the brownies now, it's gorgeous.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, but that's fine.
I mean, keep going, because
carry on with the
basically, it was my mum as a friend that had a contact in that world, and I was in my first year of university and not very good at sitting still. I was like, what should I do with this summer? Move to Porto by myself for 2 weeks and work in a three-star, two Michelin star hotel. And that was quite an interesting baptism of fire. No one spoke English. I was living by myself in the rough side of Porto because I didn't know the difference.
Yeah.
But it was very informative.
Was it brutal or...?
It was really amazing. It was a very new hotel, and it was a gastronomic kitchen basically set up for this chef, Alberto Costa. But it was just a lot of people saying, kids, you're in the shit. And I was like, that's the only thing anyone knew.
Had you started your YouTube education yet?
Yes.
So you were like, you had
so
some...
So that's kind of why. When I was 8 or 9, I had to do a presentation on what I wanted to be when I grew up, and chef was it. And then in first year, I was enjoying cooking, and I was like, why don't I just see if this is actually what I want to be doing? Turned out that it wasn't.
But why wasn't it? You didn't like the kind of pain in the kitchen? Or?
Can handle it, no. Boy, can I handle it, no. I think there's attention to detail, and then there's sort of taking the joy out of it. And I think if I do something, I need to do it very well.
Yeah.
And I know it probably would have destroyed me. I wouldn't say there's, in terms of like work rate, there isn't actually a huge amount of difference between a baker and a chef. But when you get into the bakery at the beginning of the day, you know everything that you're going to have to do by the end of the day, and then you can leave. Being a chef is like, there's mise en place, and then there's service, and anything could happen in service.
Yeah.
Which I found that the downtime that you have in mise en place, particularly being in a kitchen where no one spoke any English, was just in my head too much. I was just thinking a bit too much. And it didn't pay off the service bit, which I loved, which is like, you're so in the moment there that you can't really think about anything else. That's fantastic, because like, doesn't matter how many things you got wrong in your life, you can't think about anything else.
Yeah.
But then there's the sort of, there's only 4 hours of that, and then there's sort of 6-7 hours of mise en place before. And that didn't do it for me.
What's the adrenaline bit of baking?
Getting stuff wrong, stuff going in the oven. And then I've always, since I was like 4 or 5 years old, sat in front of the oven to watch things, how they go. But you've spent 3 days making this bread. It then goes in the oven, you have an idea of how it might come out, and then there's sort of like just a little peak, and then it's either flat and you're like,
no,
what the hell was the point of that? Or you open it up and then it's great. It's sort of like swanning around.
Yeah, swanning.
Swanning around, that's what I'm doing.
Talking about hotels, I mean, I want to bring up a new question, which none of us are ready for, which is your go-to hotel buffet breakfast, right? You go to a hotel.
That's funny, I was born ready for that question.
Okay, go on then. So we'll start with you, Ben.
So I'm there, I'm in Porto.
You've walked into the room.
I'm hoping that there is, at the end of my breakfast, going to be some sort of like fry-up element.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I'm going to like, get into the local area and make the most of the like maybe potentially what I might consider weird combinations of stuff
that
you can put together. So I don't know what's going to be on this thing, but I would I don't know, say they've got like fucking rice pudding and like scallops or something. Oh, yeah. I don't know what the lads are doing locally. I would get into that, sample a few of those, like fill the table with that and have little bits of each.
Okay. But a generic, okay, I want to take the Club Med now.
I know where you're going.
Maybe this is easy.
The omelet.
We're walking it, yeah.
Omelet.
Like, so I start, I always do, I don't do eggs. So I'm starting, very Austrian in my breakfast. Bread, cheese, hams, a tiny bit of salad. And
salad at breakfast.
Yeah.
You're an animal.
Mate, you know, this is a German and Austrian heritage here. Okay.
So I suppose you're doing what I'm doing. You're sampling the local delicacies.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't go on to hot.
Really?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, kid?
That is mental.
Well, go on. Tell me what you're going to do.
As you say, you don't know what you're getting. So the first thing is just a preemptive stroll around.
Walk around, yeah.
I'm getting some juice and I'm getting a pastry.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. That's maybe two. If they're the little ones, which I do enjoy.
Two.
Yeah.
Get a couple.
Or a few little plateful.
Or all of them. Yeah. Kind of depends what's happened the night before.
Yeah.
Then you come back to the table. Somebody's probably come up and asked you, would you like tea or coffee?
The answer is?
In a hotel, coffee.
Yeah, nice.
Because you know what I really like when they've got one of those little cafetiers, they bring up one of those. Personal.
Yeah.
It's annoying because also they bring a pot of tea on me and that brews too long.
Oh, yeah.
So you need one of the little leaf baskets.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You take the bags out.
Yeah.
I then have the coffee, attack the coffee, have the juice. Then either I'm hungry enough. Actually, no. Then I have a cooked portion. But I won't go too crazy, I don't think. Just like a selection of the meat. If there's like a pancake bar or something, I might have to factor that into the equation. But I get that with the hot section.
Not on the same plate?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Wow. Very interesting.
Okay.
Kind of American, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
You're English.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Let myself down.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Probably more often than not, I'll then go back for a bit of cereal. But then that'll
finish.
Be...
A bit of cereal to
That's
finish?
Nice.
Yeah.
What's wrong
A little
with
bit
you?
Of muesli.
Really? Roughage, to finish know? Off?
Oh, yeah.
So you've the had chaser. Your pastries, your sweet juice, your hot drink, and you're basically fry up, and then you're finishing off with a muesli.
This isn't normal. This isn't real life. I don't need this at home normally. Okay. This is
a treat.
This is probably. But this is if it's a Club Med, then it's multiple multiple days. So I'll do that first day and sort of
what, and then collapse like a wall. Find your levels.
Then I'll probably go healthy. So I'll go fruit and muesli each day.
Okay. Emily, you want to add bed to your?
No, I think Kit has approached that in the correct way.
Okay.
But I would go heavier on the cooked stuff.
Yeah.
Fill my plate, and I'd get a stack of like they often have bread things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then I would like, things. As you work through your fry up, I'd like make a little sort of bacon sandwich as a like.
Yeah,
I like that.
And come back for a sausage sandwich.
So sausage would go in a different vessel to the bacon.
Well, you'd have enough so that you have some with the breakfast.
Yeah,
then you
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of break out.
But you know how they have like three or four different types of bread? So you may start with the bacon in like a traditional two pieces of toast.
Yeah.
Then you may go into sausage. Oh, that would go nicely in that brioche bear, Paul. Do you know what I mean? I thought this is genius.
Layering.
Okay. Were you always into food growing up? Like, what is that one dish you still think back fondly on, maybe from your mum or dad?
Well, with my mum, it would be cakes, generally. She got me into the baking. I think it was decorating fairy cakes to start off with, you know, spark the interest. Mainly just so I can get close to the supply of dolly mixtures. Latterly to them.
Can you still get dolly mixtures?
Probably, you know, like when you go to a newsagent, it's like £3 for £1 and those tiny little, you only get about six in there now.
To get some.
Well, talking about food, let's actually bring out some drinks because it's time to rehydrate our lips after some delicious brownies. A tiny bit of salt in there, amazingly balanced, and those hot cross buns are mind-blowing. Ben, what's in your bag of treats today, sir?
So selfishly, I haven't done anything that I think you're going to love.
Oh,
perfect.
Which is normally what I try and do.
No, that's okay.
To be honest, I went through your Instagram and there was a couple of posts with nourishment in it.
Yeah.
And I was looking for some tins of nourishment. I couldn't find them.
Really?
Yeah.
Sainsbury's.
Well, I've done two Sainsbury's today and I couldn't...
It's the Caribbean section.
Fuck. Caught me out. Anyway.
Next time.
Yeah, well, next time.
Sloppy, Ben.
But anyway, in Tom Zahir's pod, which I know everyone will have listened to, he was talking about White Claw. Mm-hmm. I've never tried White Claw.
Have you not?
No.
I've had it once.
Have you? And so when I was in Sainsbury's...
Do you like how water tastes?
I do, yeah.
You are in for it.
Anyway, we're going to have some White Claw. This is raspberry, though, so that... Well, like raspberry water.
Yeah, what's the Volvic? You know, like the Volvic water, it's quite confusing.
I hate those. Is that what this is?
Yeah, well, let's find it.
So we're going to crack open a White Claw. Three lads cracking open a White Claw. Raspberry flavour. Really good cow count, 95 cows.
Good health, guys. Kit. Cheers.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Cheers. This is lovely.
Also, Tom's here. He said all the punk lads are into it.
Mm.
So I thought...
I can't imagine. It does taste like... Tesco's fizzy fruit water.
Spilt it down.
45p2 litres.
Yeah. When you were younger and you went to someone else's house and the mother or father made you some very disappointing squash.
Yeah.
It's
kind of not quite enough coffee in there.
All right, Kit. Jesus.
No, I know what you mean. Could you leave the bottle of Ribena on the table?
Talk to us about your go-to cocktail. Now you slated White Claw. I actually quite like it. It's quite refreshing. I can't measure the pump.
It's underwhelming.
It is underwhelming.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
What's your go-to cocktail? You're on a night.
I would be confused if I drank a lot of those and got very drunk, I think. Mm. That would be the main
thing. Yeah, me too.
Unusual.
I would say, depending on time of day, either an Aperol or a Negroni. If I'm drinking multiple, then it'll be Aperol. But I've learned from experience, I'm only allowed one Negroni.
Yeah. Only one?
Yeah.
What happened?
Just, it's never ended well, really, yeah. Having multiple Negronis.
You end up in bed with people you shouldn't be? I mean, what's going on?
No, that doesn't happen.
Oh, that's a shame.
I think the main one was using Lime Bikes when I should not have been using Lime Bikes, and actually brought a Lime Bike into my house for a few hours because I passed out, which was silly. But
these things happen.
They do happen.
It's fine.
But it's just, but that's like, it's red line. So I'm one Negroni now and no Lime Bikes.
Well, one of our guests, David Angelos, thought you could just take a Lime Bike for life, didn't he?
Yeah,
you remember that?
I think he's still the meter's still running.
Yeah.
We once, at a restaurant I worked at, after service, we all got on the Negronis and various other things. And then by the end of the night, all the chefs cycled there, and we were sort of robbing from the walk-in and cling filming big bits of meat. Because we were like, well, there's meat that's about to go. Like,
take it with you, yeah.
Take it with you. But like, we had no carrots, so we were cling filming bits of meat to each other, and everyone cycled home with like bits of sort of
that is leg. That's going to be a fun one to explain to Metropolitan Police, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
I've got a ring of sausages attached.
Yeah, what are they doing? Sellotape your head.
Didn't bring a helmet.
Yeah.
So what, get home, put it in the fridge, sleep, and then...
Absolutely, and you've got free meat the next morning.
Oh, God. The perks are big.
Anyway, my point is that's not a sensible thing to do, and it was too many Negronis.
I had a bad crash in Marseille on a Lime bike, actually, after the rugby. Last day in Marseille, and I was actually on the Lime scooters, which are even more brutal because the brakes on them are shocking. You can't really jump off. Anyway, someone went out in front of me and nearly died. But still here to tell the tale and still to ask you a question, which is what's your sort of go-to snack / canapé when you have people around?
I've been getting to cured meat a lot recently. My girlfriend is Italian, and her mum, every time I see her, make sure that I'm well supplied with salamis, plural, including one homemade, like a handmade one from a neighbour.
Really?
How was that?
Exceptional.
Okay.
Yeah, not like not normal weird. Homemade. Yeah, it's not like homemade, it's homemade beer or something. No. Like terrible.
Where's she from?
High grade.
Naples.
Okay.
We're getting a little like spread of Italian charcuterie.
I think so, with bread. I like bread.
Yeah, you like bread?
And there are different breads that I like. I think different breads go with different things. I've been getting to pate quite a lot, but I think there's nothing better than just a nice piece of bread, well toasted, bit of pate, pickle, or like a cornichon gherkin or something.
I agree with you.
I've been making sausage rolls quite a lot recently.
You made some recently. Very nice one. Yeah. Fennel and chili sausage rolls. Delicious.
Fennel.
That's
nice. What goes in your sausage roll?
Pork sausage, harissa paste.
Oh, nice.
You know the one that comes in the metal tube, like toothpaste?
Yeah.
Like the yellow one.
Yellow one with the little
If you can find that, that's the business. Yeah. And it's like so much cheaper.
Very cheap, yeah.
Yeah. But mix that up. And then when you're sealing it, then lots of Nigella seeds on top.
What about your hangover drink of choice?
Nourishment.
Yeah. Nourishment.
Chocolate?
A milky treat, yeah. A creamy treat.
A creamy treat.
I think that's in a nourishment.
Yeah.
Nice. Have you tried?
What is it?
Yeah, this
nourishment.
I knew you're gonna.
Unbelievable.
You never tried.
A little cartoon.
So I've done a survey of pretty much all the chocolate milks there are.
Oh my God, you've met your
That's why I saw it on there. I thought this guy's unbelievable.
He's serious.
He doesn't care about his baking.
Yeah, exactly.
But his nourishment consumption.
And it's the best one. Just drinking it, I think purely because it just annoys people drinking milk out of a tin.
Yeah.
Which is not that weird.
But what are the top three chocolate milks? Number one. Actually, let's start with number three. Let's build the tension in the listeners' ears here. Three.
Oatly chocolate milk.
Two.
Wow.
Chocomel.
Yes. Chocomel.
Chocomel.
Yellow Dutch one.
And number one?
Nourishment.
He hasn't mentioned the fridge. That's got to be in there.
Weirdly, I go banana fridge. The brownie's too much for me.
It's a layer I did not need.
No. Near me, there's a German bakery and they have this like child's chocolate milk.
Mm.
It's got a cow. I don't know what is the brand name. It's unbelievable. So that's my number three.
Okay.
It's too small a portion, really. You have to get two.
Yeah.
Then Chocomel. Don't know if nourishment's number one. I quite like that bougie one. The one with the... It's called something like Are Delicious.
You had another guest on here who was talking about
that. Yeah, Amelia. She loved it.
You won't countenance that.
There's not enough of it.
Maybe
honestly, you're paying £2.
You can get the big one.
You're being bled dry there. I'm sorry, it's probably
being bled dry all the time.
Also true. Just add it to the list.
Just living in London.
I want to also know what you eat on a hangover.
Fry ups. Again, another list I'm trying to make is just best fry ups around South London.
And where's the number one right now?
Just around the corner. Kennington Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable guy.
Have you been?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like he's been researching you to make you happy, Ben. I don't know.
That is how it's feeling.
You went there with Max, didn't you?
Where do you live? Tooting.
Tooting, yeah. No, honestly, I went there every Sunday in January.
This one here?
Yeah, Kennington Lane. But if I'm at home, oven-baked tomatoes, or I'll get up, cut the tomatoes, put them in the oven, sort of fall asleep, wake up to the smell of burning, which means they've been in for long enough. Mm-hmm. Honestly, with like an hour and a half, like if you've got 12 tomatoes, you want sort of like a thimbleful, super concentrated, thick slab of toast, butter, lots of butter, Bovril.
Nice.
One, maybe two eggs.
How did you get through the door at St. John's? Because obviously one of the greatest establishments, a mecca for all food in the world, really.
Went into St. John. I'd always sort of liked St. John. Never been able to afford to go there, obviously. Yeah, I went in, got the number of the head baker, and then a couple of days later, went in for trial shift, took a loaf of bread with me. Big Hungarian guy, Laszlo, he liked me and offered me a job.
Was he impressed by the loaf?
No, he thought it was crap, and he sort of tore it apart, but he appreciated the fact that I'd tried. Like, yeah. I'd tried proving it overnight and all that kind of stuff.
Was it crap? Like, do you agree?
It wasn't that bad.
No.
But he'll do it all with a smile on his face, but it's like, yeah, man, it's not good. And then it's like, okay, cool.
Even worse, really.
Yeah. And even by the end of working there, I don't think I'd ever made him go. Actually, no, sometimes he was nice about the bread that I
what
made.
What about Fergus Henderson? Do you ever put a smile on his face? You get to meet the great man?
I've actually got a photo on my wall of us at the Christmas party in a photo booth.
Is he as legendary? Sweet. Him on your knee? You on his knee?
Yeah, everyone's naked.
Yeah.
No, there's about four of us in there. He's not the most vocal guy these days. The more vocal of the two is Trevor Gulliver, who's, you know, the other side of things. He's outspoken in his opinions, but always in a way that was quite humorous and funny. And yeah, they didn't come around the bakery the whole time, and the bakery is obviously very separate to the restaurant. It was very formative, making huge amounts of breads, learning a lot. It was crazy to go from there, where it was a team of sort of like 20 people, to then go to this tiny bakery where there's only three of us, and then I suddenly had a lot of responsibility put on me.
Did you get to eat in the restaurant in St. John's ever?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What are your favourite dishes from there? Go on.
Obviously the bone marrow is, I think it's so good, because I then went away and tried making it at home, and it's actually really easy to make it at home, but it's like, unless you'd thought of it, you never would have done that. That was amazing. I always really enjoyed the puddings. I'm very much a sweet tooth person. Always their salads. Whenever I go to a restaurant, I'm always looking at the menu like from 3 days before and just checking it every day. Theirs changes every day. But I saw like the day before I was going, they had like roast pork, and then the next day when we went, it was then like a cold pork salad. I was like, I don't know, is this going to be good? So it's just unbelievable. I don't know what they do, what kind of capers they use or something, the vinegar, but every time just ordering one of the salads from the starter sheet, and it's ridiculous. Also, always the Madeleines. Don't know what it is about Madeleines.
Yeah. I would agree with you, actually. My favourite thing I've ever eaten is brown shrimp and kohlrabi salad with like chervil, and it's just like...
Weirdly big on kohlrabi.
Yeah.
That's just not what I would have expected.
No, great for margins.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, little things like duck hearts on toast, or I went to a wedding there once and they did their like crispy pig's ears with ketchup as a canapé. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
Obviously, you guys were doing commercial bakery there as well, like selling off your loaves to restaurants and everything. If you were charged $4.50 for a sourdough, being an honest man, how much would you expect? You know, sometimes you go to a restaurant, doesn't matter how good or bad it is, you get four or five slices, some really nice butter. Sometimes you get like half a slice each. Still £4.50. What do you expect? What should we expect? How much does a loaf of sourdough cost to make, and how much should we be expecting?
Hard-hitting journey.
Wow. We're going for some exclusives. Yeah. So it's a difficult skill, and there aren't many people that have got it. The industry is lacking in sourdough bakers at the moment, meaning it's a prize skill. I think charging for it in a restaurant, unless you've got a really good relationship with the restaurant, with the bakery, it just seems like money grabbing. I think if it can bring an experience that you wouldn't normally be able to get with bread, fair enough. Say if you got it with a specific type of butter, like a whipped butter or something that you're just not going to make at home, I think, you know, fair. And it is a nice way to start the meal. I personally don't go for bread because I eat enough bread. I eat enough bread.
Yeah.
More than enough.
Well, it's funny you say you don't go for bread. We're about to play a little game here, Ben. Aren't we?
Called Going for Bread.
London's home to many great bakeries, also many shit overpriced ones. We're going to play a game where, firstly, want to know your top three bakeries and then your three most overrated ones, but also through the median of trying, what is it, a baguette and...
Just done a baguette and a croissant.
A croissant, okay.
All right.
High grade, high street grade, and quite shit grade.
Okay, three of each.
Three baguettes and three croissants, yeah.
Okay.
Not three each category.
This is going to put me on the spot.
Yeah, like, what I think my hypothesis before going into this scientific experiment is that the order will be subverted.
Okay. Why don't you cut one up? And when you do, we're going to move on to your food go-tos. We're going to ask, what's your go-to delivery order?
Curry, every time. Same order every time as well. Starters, bhajis, lamb chop, from Feeling Crazy. Curry, chicken pathia, bindi bhaji on the sides, pilau rice, and a pashari naan. I tell you what though, the best curry house in London that I've been to is Two Sisters Tandoori in Nunhead. They only do delivery, but they do it all over the southeast. Just fantastic.
Here we go. We've got the croissants out on the board, three of them. Sorry. Ben's going to cut them up quickly. Dish you cut the most midweek?
Pasta, definitely. Just some kind of pasta. I think it's so easy. And also, I'm quite busy with doing other stuff generally, so I do just need something that's over 20 minutes quite often. If I'm going to cook, then I'll cook properly. But most of the time, it's just kind of, it's whatever.
And just before we taste the first croissant, what's your go-to meal deal combination?
Duck wrap. Hoisin duck wrap, salt and vinegar koi's, because they're the best ones. They are just the best crisps. And then, probably a smoothie. Smoothies.
Really?
To cut through, you know?
Yeah.
I'd have that last. For me. Really?
But, I mean, it makes sense. It's your meal deal. This isn't my interview.
No.
Ben, yeah. The croissants are ready.
So I thought you could have a look down the barrel of them.
Yeah. Oh, God. That third one's not happy.
Third one on this side?
Yeah, on that side. I don't know what's happened in the middle there, but...
No, it's cavernous, isn't it?
It's hollowed.
Okay. Yeah.
What are you smelling for?
Sourness.
I forgot to smell mine. I just
the fact that it's a regular glazing makes me think that actually it's more handmade.
Can we get the analysis down the microphone, please, Kurt?
Sorry, that's a very good honeycomb crumb.
That's quite handsome, right?
Mm. Yeah, I'm just showing that to.
Oh, this one's a lot better. I don't. Or maybe it's not.
Did you? There's a sourness to that.
I think that was more sourness than the first one, to be honest.
Interesting. It'll work on my nose palate.
You do. So we got one average, two better.
But with like, you thought maybe like a commercially done crust.
I think that could be more commercial, but it is quite tasty, that.
Right, let's go in for the third.
Number three.
That smells commercial kitchen to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But buttery, almost like...
No, I think that's less buttery than the others.
Really? My nose palate is a mess.
No, try it.
You've been out in the kitchen for too long. I think that's fake, that last one. Okay, so if I have to say, I'd say
fake news.
One is your mid-range, two is your high-end, three is your low-end. What about you, Kit?
Which way around did I put them? No, I've got it.
I'm going to say that's three. One, two, three.
So three being shittest or best? Like ranking, worst, literal
worst,
ranking.
Worst, yeah.
Yeah, like podium.
What's the answers?
I mean, he's good. That was Aldi. The middle one was Gales. And this one... was a good bakery.
Kit, what's the most annoying baking creation you've seen? Like, we have the cronuts, we have all that shit. What's the most annoying thing? You look at it, you go, for fuck's sake.
I think Fortitude Bakehouse are good, but I think those filled donuts that they do, it's a rip off.
They're overrated.
Beignets, but it's an Italian thing. It's not a French thing. And they're just too big as well. Yeah. I don't understand how that could be. There's so much cream in it that it's kind of like, is that not just going to cripple your insides?
Yeah, yeah. You'll give anyone IBS that.
Exactly. In a pretty major way. Oh, there's round two. I forgot about round two.
We've got round two coming. But I want to be even more brutal when we get the baguettes out. And I want to say, what's the most overrated bakery in London?
Obviously Gales.
Why is it so shit? Quickly.
Oh, another one. overrated. What are they called? In Borough Market. They make the creme brulee donut. Bread ahead.
So yeah. Bread ahead and Gales. Why are they so overrated?
Gales, because I think they don't actually do that much baking. I think most of it is done just by machines and stuff. Yeah, it's not made by people that actually care.
And Bread Ahead?
Again, I think just you lose something with the number of numbers, the amount of numbers they're doing. I think it's lost something. You can't really respond to... You can't make things special or interesting, which I think if you're spending a lot of money, if you spend like £4 on something, you want it to be changing each month or to... Like, you want to be able to see the person that's made it, personally.
Okay, Bread Ahead and Gales, I'm sorry, but you are overrated, according to the wonderful Kit Delamain. We're going to move to your go-to locations, but quickly, we're going to go through the baguettes, then we're going to whiz through those.
That's the worst one, I can already tell you that.
So you can tell that's the worst, just by the rip?
Yeah.
That's quite incredible.
Not by the rip, just by...
Oh, that is...
I think the seeded sourloaf at Gales is really bloody good. I'm coming back at you, Kit. I'm getting emotional now after one White Claw.
Fight back.
Yeah.
I mean... One, two, three.
You don't even have to, you just know it.
Yeah. It's the scoring. You wouldn't get that scoring on.
He hasn't even sampled them, he knows which one's the best. And they all look pretty good.
I've only eaten that one.
That's good. You're right. Of course he's right.
We're going to move on to your go-to locations, Kit. We're going to start with your go-to weeknight restaurant.
I think any curry house in Tooting is just a good safe bet.
Yeah. Used to be amazing. Now if you go there, you get food poisoning. I'm just going to warn you.
Oh, are you true?
No, that's fine. Anyone can have an off night.
Yeah,
anyone can
have an off night. I had a similar experience. Very high rating. I won't say because maybe it's I need to go again. But I'm just a bit nervous to go again. My favourite one in Teating is Kolam, which is South Indian. Yeah. It's very tasty. You could just go there and not spend too much money.
Favourite place for a special supper?
Andanza, a Pinchos and tapas bar just behind London Bridge Station.
Ooh.
It's very out the way and it's very sort of dark, candlelit vibes. They got jamón hanging up. With
yeah, it was very nice.
Thank you. I try. It's the White Claw.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just lots of, they have tapas, but they have Pinchos, so like San Sebastian vibes.
Best place for a date?
Silk Road.
Camberwell.
Yeah, they've just been redone, actually. Mm. I preferred it before when it was crap. I just trust it more.
Now it's like an airport lounge, Mike Davis said.
That is not probably the first place my brain would have gone. Mm. it's kind of like sitting in IKEA if IKEA was Chinese.
Okay.
It just is all very clean and crisp and sort of, it's like Swedish Chinese combo.
Really?
What about your go-to pub?
The Ramblin' in Teating. It's my favourite pub.
Why is it so good?
You go in, you order a Guinness, and they tell you to sit down. It's cash only. Tell you to sit down. It's £4.50. Mm. And they bring it over to you because they actually let it settle.
Whereabouts is that in Teating?
I don't really want to give it away.
No, no, please do. Just Google it. I mean, we are living in 2024.
It is down, right down by Teating Station. So not Teating Beck or Broadway. It's by the train station. It's out the way. But I was there on Paddy's Day and there was live music and all sorts. There's live music every Sunday as well. Irish music. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And I like skiing, but better.
Yeah, like skiing, but with more actual locals rather than just those students.
Best place for a pizza in town?
Dinner 100. Funny you say skiing, so up on Telegraph Hill.
Yeah.
So you can get a pizza and then go to skiing afterwards. I've heard a lot of flack for Neapolitan pizza recently and I'm not enjoying it at all. I think it's absolute crap. I think Neapolitan pizza is fantastic.
But your girlfriend from Naples?
Yeah, I'm actually an exclusive. I'm actually planning to be out there in about a month's time.
To Naples,
yeah.
Have you told your employers yet?
I was going to say. Is this?
I have, yeah. Okay. Yeah, don't worry.
So it's not a complete exclusive.
not a complete exclusive. I haven't told.
What are you going to be doing out there?
Learning how to make pizza.
Really?
Working in a pizzeria? Have you lined up a job?
No. I tried that for quite a while and just thought, hey, let's just go out there.
You speak Italian?
Paolo and Paul.
Buonasera, see you.
Very good. I see. Very good.
Grazie.
I see you also fluent. That's good.
I speak a tiny bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. Good stuff.
What about your favourite hidden gem before you go out to Naples and leave us to work in pizza?
The samosas at Pooja in Teating are just mind-blowing. They're like unlike any samosa you've had before. And they're onion barges, actually. But you go in there, there's always a massive queue. But they just get through people really quickly. When I first moved to Teating, it was 75p, and sadly, they've gone up to 85p. But I'd rather them go up in price than shrink. So there's not been any shrinkflation. It's a big bastard, and it's pretty...
What's in them? Mince?
No, veg. It's a vegetarian bakery.
Nice.
Potato, peas, loads of spices. But from the same place, you can get like a lunchtime meal, like a lunchtime deal, which is like £4. You get rice, a curry, a bread, and a sweet thing, and it just comes in this little box. And
it's beautiful, Danny.
Yeah, I couldn't recommend highly enough.
Well, Kit, you're about to leave us for, you know, Shores Unknown, but with your girlfriend alongside you, I believe. Maybe she's staying in London. I hope she's going out with you.
I persuaded her.
Naples. You're going to become a pizza chef extraordinaire. You're done with baking. Well, I suppose it's a sort of next lineage of baking. But I want to know, to finish up, what is your dream long weekend getaway and itinerary?
To probably fly into Bordeaux and then drive out to a small provincial town, get a market in there. There needs to be someone playing the accordion, probably in a corner somewhere.
We can organise it.
Yeah, that can be arranged.
Cheers. Quite a lot of red wine, maybe a trip to a vineyard. Not middle summer, because that's a bit too warm, but I'm probably May, June.
Do you tan well?
When I put my heart and soul into it, yeah. Okay. It does take a bit of an effort, and usually a sort of misstep with no sun cream.
Always helps. The red.
Get a base layer.
Red turns brown.
Exactly.
What are you eating?
I've been to that area of the world once, and just everything looks good. All the vegetables, all the meat.
Yeah.
I don't actually like cheese, so there won't be any cheese on the menu.
Oh,
that's fine though.
Yeah. Do I have to?
The boys are out there. Well, not always the boy, but often they're old men. You, at the markets, you always get like the lads
playing bowls.
They play bowls. Yeah. But then they also have like a rotisserie on the back of a little van.
And the potatoes on the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Baguette, always carry.
Yeah, expensive though nowadays. Went to one of those recent markets.
What are we talking?
I don't know, 20 euros for a big chicken?
Absolutely fine.
Is that fine?
I think you're in the moment.
You might feed six or eight people out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'll take eight people off a rotisserie chicken.
Well, no, because I'm doing baguette, with birds? Bit of salad, some of the potatoes, Dijonese. Yeah. So you're actually doing little sandwiches.
Love Dijonese.
And I reckon you easily
feed. That is a wonderful play.
That's good, right?
Big fan.
Yeah.
Kit, you've been wonderful. We wish you the best of luck in Italy. Just to finish off, the three courses you can put together from all the snacks you mentioned, from the samosas to the baguettes to everything else, what are you choosing to save?
Go-to meal, probably smash to start, but then also some cured meat as well. It's a bit confusing, but I think it would work. Did we do any main courses? Not really. Like rotisserie chicken.
We did a lot of curry.
Yeah. Or a pizza?
A curried rotisserie chicken.
Okay. With Dijonese.
Yeah. Has that been done before?
It'd be delicious.
With Dijonese. Oh, no. And then to finish.
What about a creme brulee from Breadhead?
A creme brulee, not in a donut. Perfect. That is perfect.
I hope you're listening, Breadhead. You have been absolutely wonderful, Kit. Thank you so much. Best of luck in Italy, and we'll come out and visit you this summer in Naples. I hope you have a job by then. You're running one of the greatest pizzerias, and we can come and sample your good.
That's the plan. Can think of nothing less.
Guys, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, leave us a rating, send it on to anyone who, if you sat there and go like, that was actually really enjoyable, send it on to someone else you think will find it enjoyable. We're creeping up the charts and we're incredibly excited about it, so please keep it going. Until next week, good at
lovely
you.
Cheers,
ciao
guys. Cheers, thanks guys.
Thanks, Kit.
Thank you. Bye.